Well, without further ado, please turn with me to 1 Corinthians 9. 1 Corinthians 9. And if you remember from last week, Paul lays out the minister's right, the rights of a minister. Paul argued that common sense and secular employment and scripture as well, they confirm these rights, a minister's rights. And then Paul says, look at verse 14 quickly. Even so, the Lord has commanded that those who preach the gospel should live from the gospel. Well, today we turn our attention away from the minister's rights and we look at the minister's reward. The minister's reward. We pick up in verse 15. Follow along with me. Paul says, but I have used none of these things, nor have I written these things, that it should be done so to me, for it would be better for me to die than that anyone should make my boasting void. For if I preach the gospel, I have nothing to boast of, for necessity is laid upon me. Yea, woe is me if I do not preach the gospel. For if I do this willingly, I have a reward. But if against my will, I have been entrusted with a stewardship. What is my reward then? That when I preach the gospel, I may present the gospel of Christ without charge, that I may not abuse my authority in the gospel. Amen. Join me for prayer. Holy Spirit of God, we turn our attention now to your word. Guide us in truth and show us Christ. As we worship with our ears and listen intently, enable us to discern your voice. Help us to know that you are speaking to us in and through your holy scriptures. We love your word. It's a light and a lamp unto our feet. What's more, we love the living word, Christ our Lord and Savior, in whose name we pray. Amen. I took a pastoral ministries class in seminary. The professor, his name was Dr. Montoya. He was in this class challenging and exhorting us. He was telling us that pastors need to live simple and streamlined lives. Your people, he would say, they need to know that you are not in it for the money, to get paid. He said that he and his wife, early on in ministry, they learned how to live off of very little, simple means, and they were happily doing so. His go-to lunch any day out of the week was the 99-cent chicken sandwich at McDonald's with a water. And on those splurge days, two chicken sandwiches. Well, he said that when he was hired as a pastor at his church in Whittier, the East LA area, when he was hired on, he said that there was one particular leader who would come into the office and he would drop off paychecks once a month. Now, Pastor Montoya felt like this man, this leader, had a chip on his shoulder and that he was skeptical about the new pastor, Dr. Montoya. He would walk around church as if he owned Pastor Montoya. And he would, once a month, come into the office, all high and mighty, and he would deliver paychecks. He would deliver paychecks like, I own you. I pay you. You look to me, so don't bite the hand that feeds. This man would come into the office and Pastor Montoya would look up in the midst of his study, knee deep in books, and he would say this to him, just put it on the corner of the desk. Well, a month would pass, and then he would get a knock on the office door, and in comes high and mighty. He comes with paychecks, big man on campus, I pay you guy, walks into the office. Montoya once again looks up from his study. He says, just put it on the corner of the desk with the other one that you left there last month. And he let the checks pile up. And month by month, he saw Mr. High and Mighty's disposition change little by little. Montoya said that he needed to send a message. I'm not in it for the money. Nobody owns me. I have learned in whatever state I am to be content. I know how to be abased and how to abound. I know how to both be full and to be hungry, to both abound and to suffer need. Dr. Montoya's classes were always challenging, particularly challenging. The kind of challenging where after lecture, you feel like handing over your man card, right? The Apostle Paul was not in it for the money. He wasn't. And no pastor should be. We are not, as many are, peddling the word of God. What then was Paul's reward? What was his reward? What is the minister's reward? What is it then that drives and motivates the pastor, the preacher, the missionary, the minister, the Christian? What motivates the Christian to share the gospel and to preach Christ? Well, that's our focus this afternoon. Let me give you a simple outline, and you'll recognize the points right there in your text. First, Paul's boast, his boast, and then Paul's reward. Paul's boast and Paul's reward. And then, by way of application, what should our boast be? And what is our reward? Paul's boast and Paul's reward, and by way of application, our boast and our reward. What should drive and motivate us to preach the gospel and to minister to those who don't, as of yet, know Christ? What should drive and motivate us? You remember from last week, and I mentioned it, that Paul laid out his rights as a minister. A minister's rights. Rights that he freely set aside in Corinth. Look at verse 12. Lest, he says, I've laid those rights aside, lest the gospel be hindered somehow, some way. And he goes on, look at verse 15. He says, I've used none of these things, none of these rights. And he says, I'm not telling you this because I have some ulterior motive. Verse 15, nor have I written these things that it should be done so to me. And look what he says. He says in verse 15, for it would be better for me to die than that anyone should make my boasting void. Now, you would expect Paul here, after laying out his right, you would expect him to raise his voice and maybe start pounding the pulpit and saying, give me my due. I work hard. I'm worthy of the wages. Give me my due. Paul's saying, I got to eat, don't I? But he doesn't do that. Not here. Instead, he changes directions altogether. And he does raise his voice and perhaps pound the pulpit, but he goes the other way. He says, I'd rather die, Paul says. I'd rather die than be stripped of my boast. I would rather die before I allow someone to rob me of my boast. Now, here's the question. What was Paul's boast? What was his boast? Well, his boast was that his motivation was pure. He didn't preach for money. He didn't preach for popularity or fame. He wasn't preaching in hopes that somehow he would benefit in the future once the church was a bit more established. You see, Paul's concern was, hear his concern now. He was concerned that if he took the money from people right now, at this point in the ministry, he was thinking, I'm concerned that someone in this frontier missionary context, someone might think that I'm shady. Somebody's going to think I'm shady, which might prevent them from receiving the message. Now that thought killed Paul. And he said, I'd rather die. And I think we can all relate to this. I certainly can as a pastor. Paul reasoned, if I take the money now, they might question my motives. And so, I won't. I won't take it now or ever if that's what happens. Lest I be deprived of my boast. Lest I be stripped of my God-given holy motivation to preach the gospel for the glory of God and for the eternal benefit of souls. Paul is saying, I would rather die than have anyone think that I have another motivation. The glory of God and the eternal welfare of souls, soul winning. Paul was a soul winner for the glory of God and for the eternal benefit of others, not his own. Not his own benefit, you understand. Look at verse 19. We skip ahead a bit. He says this, his goal, that I might win the more. Verse 20, to win the Jews, to win those under the law. Look at verse 21, to win those without the law. Verse 22, to win the weak. Now, friends, what is this soul winning? Look at verse 22 of that section, that I might by all means save some. Salvation. This is the prize. Look at verse 24. This is why we run and preach and minister, for the prize, not money, not popularity or reputation, not to build a mega church. These are, verse 25, perishable crowns, Paul says. But we, he says, we for an imperishable. He says, that's why I freely lay aside and restrict my freedoms, Paul says. That's why I freely restrict my freedoms and lay aside my rights. That is why, verse 12, I endure all things. That is why I have, verse 19, made myself a servant of all. Because I love God and desire to see him glorified in the salvation of hell-bound sinners. And I would rather die than for someone to take this boast from me, or make my boasting vain and void. Friends, that integrity, that holy motivation was so important to Paul that he laid all of his rights and freedoms aside so that no one would be able to nullify the boast. So, what was Paul's boast? Just to be clear, his boast was that he used his freedom in Jesus to restrict his freedom and lay aside his rights to preach the gospel without hindrance, without distraction. And so, figuratively speaking, what he did is he let the paychecks pile up. Why? To send a message. To send a message about who he was and what motivated him. And I'll be honest with you, beloved. This boast that Paul is referring to, this boast is the only thing that pastors and preachers have. If you aspire, or perhaps you're an elder, a pastor, a preacher, hear me now. This is the only thing we got. The only thing. If you cannot trust your pastor, if you can't trust the leadership for one reason or another, then you shouldn't be at that church. And also, to the pastor who seeks to minister, listen, if you're not trusted, then you're going to make a wreck and a ruin of the ministry. And also for the church that seeks to glorify God, without this trust, no one is going to grow in the faith. From the pastoral side, friends, trust is all I have. It's all I have. And it is my goal as your pastor to win and to keep your trust as a minister motivated by nothing less than the glory of God and the eternal welfare of souls. And if I don't have that as your pastor, then I have nothing. I have nothing. Now, the boast is connected to and related to the reward. They're not the same thing exactly, but they're connected and related. Paul's boast was that he was integritous, that he was motivated by love for God and for others, so much so that he would lay aside freedoms and rights. He would lay aside the support and remuneration that was due him in order to ensure that the gospel was preached without hindrance. Now, his reward, while related, is not exactly his boast. Related, but not one and the same. Look at verse 18. Paul's reward, as he saw it, his reward, according to verse 18, was found in refusing the reward. The best payment, Paul says, the best payment is no payment. That's what he says. My reward is found in refusing the reward. Now, let me try to explain what Paul is saying here, and I hope this becomes clear as we see Paul's heart and motivation with greater clarity. He says in verse 16, he says this. He says, for if I preach the gospel, he says, I have nothing to boast of. In preaching the gospel, Paul had no boast. In other words, he's saying, in preaching, I have no boast because it's not my message. I didn't invent the message. I don't make it powerful or effective. It's not my power, but the power of God unto salvation. Thus, he has nothing to boast about in preaching the gospel. The message was not his idea. He takes no pride in being a pastor. Why? Well, quite simply because Paul, if you know Paul, had nothing to do with his calling. Verse 16, he says, I have nothing to boast about. Look what he says, for necessity is laid upon me. So Paul didn't come to a fork in the road in his life and think to himself, you know what? What am I going to be when I grow up? Should I be an engineer? What about a lawyer or a school teacher? Maybe I should be an accountant. Maybe I should be a pastor. That sounds like fun. This wasn't Paul. You see, he had no choice in this. Necessity, he says, was laid upon him. Paul was compelled. He was conscripted. God's sovereign hand was upon him. Paul didn't have options, you see. He didn't have choices. Paul didn't volunteer. He didn't sign up for this job. Preaching wasn't an option. It wasn't a choice. And so Paul had no grounds for boasting that he preached the gospel any more than a slave can boast about obeying his master's commands. You see, the slave has no options. He knows that it will be worse for him if he doesn't obey. And Paul says that. He says, woe is me if I preach not the gospel. Woe is me. Jesus said it this way in Luke 17:10. Perhaps you remember this verse. He says, so likewise you, when you have done all things, you are commanded to say, we are unprofitable servants. We have only done what our duty was. You see, Paul was drafted, if you will, by God. He was conscripted. And as such, he was entrusted with a stewardship that he had to discharge as a servant, as a slave. He says, necessity was laid upon me. And he says this, if I don't do what God calls me to do, woe is me. 1 Corinthians 1:17, perhaps you remember this passage. Christ did not send me to baptize, but to preach the gospel. Necessity was laid upon Paul. 1 Corinthians 15:3, Paul says this. He says, I simply delivered to you what I also received. He says, I'm just the delivery guy. I'm the DoorDash guy. The order's been placed. I just got to pick it up and deliver it to you. He says, I had no other options, no choice. Galatians 1:16, Paul says that Christ was revealed to him so that he might preach the gospel to the Gentiles. Or Romans 1:14, listen to how Paul talks about his calling. He says, I am a debtor to both Greeks and barbarians, to the wise and the unwise. Paul says here, necessity was laid upon me by God. I was under compulsion, and thus in all of my preaching, I'm just discharging my duty. I'm just administering the trust that has been entrusted to me. Now, Pause. I wonder if that is how you see your faith. Whether you think preaching the gospel is an option in Christianity, or if you feel like Paul, necessity laid upon you. Now, I'll confess, I don't want to talk to that person on the airplane, okay? I don't. I suppose perhaps like you. I make plans to not talk to them. And then I get on the plane and I sit down and I open my book and kind of turn away. And I feel the weight of compulsion. Necessity is laid upon me. And then the plane takes off and I have a captive audience for as long as the flight is. But I can't boast in that. I have nothing to boast about. I'm simply doing what I am supposed to do. I'm simply doing what God has called me to do as a Christian, not as a pastor, not as a pastor. And if I don't preach Christ and preach the gospel, then verse 16, woe is me. Woe are we. And verse 17, Paul explains, he says this, for if I do this willingly, Paul's saying, if I have options, if I wasn't conscripted, Paul says, or entrusted with a stewardship, if I had options, then sure, I have a reward. If I had options, sure, I have a reward, but if against my will, Paul says, if I'm simply doing what I'm supposed to be doing, well then, in that case, I'm simply acting as a steward, as a servant who is discharging his trust. Friends, every Christian, every minister of the gospel must feel something of this necessity, this compulsion. Perhaps you're here today because necessity was laid upon your family member, your friend, and their desire to minister the gospel to you. It was the Spirit of God working in them because they have been trying to minister to you. Maybe that's why you're here today. The sovereign hand of God compels us to preach Christ despite awkward conversations, despite all of the difficulties, despite anything that might get in the way. And this ought to be true, especially true for pastors and preachers. Now, I've been preaching for 20 years now from a church and in a church pulpit. It's amazing because I'm only 25. No. I've been preaching for just about 20 years now in a church context. And as I reflect on my years, and I have reflected as I've been reading Corinthians, I can say that what keeps me is divine necessity. Divine necessity. I have already ruled everything else out. Listen, I'm not here because of the pay. I promise you. And I think you know, some of you know what I'm talking about here. It's certain. I'm not here because of all of the criticism. I don't love all the criticism because we get a lot as pastors. I'm not. The thing that keeps me is not all the heartache that comes with trying to walk with broken people in a broken world, myself included there. But what keeps me is I feel compelled. I cannot not tell people about who God is and what He has done for me. And what He has done for sinners, like all of us. I have no options. I must speak. And Paul is saying, I don't want a pat on the head for all of that. I don't want a reward for that. I can't boast in that, Paul is saying. I'm simply discharging a stewardship. I have nothing to boast about. Necessity is laid upon me. And this compulsion within Paul, and let's just call it the Holy Spirit, this compulsion cannot be stopped. It can't. It cannot be stopped. Persecution cannot stop it. Jail cells cannot contain it. Hatred from the world toward Christians, especially in our day and age, cannot stop this compulsion. Hunger and thirst cannot stop it. A lack of resources, want and need None of these can stop the compulsion within every Christian to share the message of salvation with everyone and anyone they come in contact with. This divine compulsion cannot be stopped. It is a fire within the bones, as Jeremiah once said. And I dare say, you ain't preaching. You ain't preaching without that necessity. You're not preaching. You're not sharing apart from that compulsion. Without this fire in your bones, you ain't preaching. This, my friends, is a sacred and divine responsibility. And when you recognize that, when that Spirit of Paul, the Spirit of God, lives in you, you won't need the applause or man's approval. The criticism will not affect you or derail you. You won't be looking for the honorarium or for the paycheck. And beloved, that is profoundly liberating. When the Spirit of the Lord is there in that place, in that one, where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is freedom. And we can say with the psalmist, I believe, therefore I spoke. Free from men's applause, free from criticism, free from self, from the idol of self, free from the love of money. The fear of man will not constrain you. You will not be able to contain this compulsion. And I must tell of His grace. I must speak of His love and share the good news of salvation with family, with friends, with coworkers, with neighbors, and anyone who will listen. Anyone. His boast was not that he preached the gospel, but that he did everything in his power to ensure that the gospel message would go forth without a hindrance. And he laid aside all of his rights. And verse 12, he says, I endured all things, lest the gospel be hindered. He didn't have to do it that way, but he did. And that was his boast. Well, then what was his reward? His prize. He says, verse 18, and we've already looked at this verse. What is my reward then? Here it is. That when I preach the gospel, I may present the gospel of Christ without charge. His highest payment then was to serve without pay. His greatest reward was found in refusing a reward. The best payment is no payment. That is how much he loved God and people. Now, let me illustrate from lesser to the greater. And this may be a true story and it may not be. But let me illustrate from the lesser to the greater. Now, my wife told me a story last week of this one time where she and her friends planned a dinner, a birthday party dinner for another sister. Reservations at a nice restaurant were made. A guest list was put together, smaller guest list, you know, the COVID thing. Presents and gifts were prepared. A wonderful evening with friends and good food. Now, if you're the birthday girl, you didn't plan the party for yourself. Sure, it's your party, but you were conscripted. You were compelled to attend this surprise party for yourself. Necessity was laid upon you. And let's say in the middle of the evening, guests start coming up to you and saying, listen, thank you so much for the invitation. Thank you. So much fun. Thank you for arranging everything, birthday girl. Well, if you were the birthday girl, you would be obliged to say, it wasn't me. I did nothing. I didn't plan. I didn't invite. I didn't even decide to be born on this day. I have nothing to boast about. Well, dinner wraps up. Everyone knows that the birthday girl isn't supposed to pay for her own food. Her friends put the evening together to celebrate her birthday and to treat her. But when the bill comes, she pays not only for her own food, but for the whole party. What was her reward? Why did she do it? What was her prize? Well, it's simple. Nothing, there is nothing that she wants more than to see her friends rejoice, to see that they are having a good time. That for her is the greatest reward. It is, as they say, my pleasure. Well, someone told her husband later that night, and he said, yeah, that's just her. She always does stuff like that. And so it's true, isn't it? It's better to give than to receive. If that is true for you, as it was for Paul, then the reward is nothing less than that he might preach and present the gospel of Christ without charge. Why? Why? Because he loves people so much. It's that simple. There's nothing profound or deep here. That's how much he loves people, that he wants to make sure that they hear and receive the gospel with zero hindrance. Friends, where did Paul learn this from? What spirit was he of? Like his Lord, Paul did not come to Corinth to be served, but to serve and to offer his life. The Son of Man did not come, Jesus said, to be served, but to serve and to offer his life as a ransom for the many. 2 Corinthians 8:9. For you know the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, that though he was rich, yet for your sakes he became poor, that you through him might become rich. Philippians 2:5, a very familiar verse. He says, brothers and sisters, let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus, who being equal with God, one with the Father, second person of the Godhead, who was the Son of God. He had rights, you understand. He had sovereign divine rights as the Son of God. Yet he made himself of no reputation, taking the form of a bondservant and coming, as you remember, in the likeness of men. He humbled himself and became obedient to the point of death, even the death of the cross. Why did he do it? Why did he do it? Why would he lay aside his divine rights? Why condescend? Divinity doesn't need to be humble. Why then did he humble himself? Because he loves sinners. It's that simple. Because God loves sinners, and Christ loves the lost. He loves his bride, all whom the Father has ordained to eternal life. If you are not a Christian this afternoon, we plead with you. Receive the love of God today in the dying love of Jesus, who willingly and lovingly went to the cross as a substitute to pay for the sins of all who would trust in him. This is the dying love of God in the love of Jesus. Trust in his person, in who he is, in his teaching, in his death, and in his resurrection. Put your full trust in him. The Bible says to put your faith in him. Trust in Christ today. Receive the love of God, the free gift of salvation in Jesus Christ. Listen to Jesus himself. He says, nobody takes my life from me. I lay it down. I lay it down of my own accord. I lay down my life for the sheep. You see, his boast, if you will, is that he came willingly. He came of his own accord. He laid aside his divine prerogatives because of the great love with which he loved us. This is, if you will, the boast of Christ. His reward. Well, if that's his boast, what's his reward? Do you remember the two young men that I mentioned last week? Johann Dober and David Nischmann, two Moravian missionaries. You remember these young men, one in his 20s and one in his 30s. They sold themselves into slavery in order to minister to slaves in the West Indies. And after selling themselves into slavery, they boarded the ship that would take them to the Caribbean. And as the ship pulled away from the shore, they shouted out to their family and friends who were lined there at the dock, waving. And one of them lifted up his hand and he shouted, "May the Lamb who was slain receive the reward for his sufferings." And we sang it, didn't we? "Worthy is the Lamb who was slain." What then was the reward? It was the joy set before him. Simply put, why did Jesus do it? He did it for the glory of God and for the eternal welfare of your souls. That was his reward. The glory of God in salvation. This was his great reward. A reward so great that he willingly made himself of no reputation. He willingly took the form of a bondservant. He willingly came in the likeness of men. He willingly humbled himself. He willingly went to the cross. He willingly laid down his life. May the Lamb who was slain receive the reward for his suffering. Amen. Let's pray together. Sovereign and merciful God, we confess that we are motivated by all kinds of things. Our hearts are divided and distracted. We preoccupy ourselves and amuse ourselves to death, entertaining ourselves to the point of distraction. And then communion with you becomes a passing thought to us. Forgive us, Lord. Unite our hearts to fear and to love your name. Fix our eyes on Christ as we preoccupy ourselves with living our lives in deep and regular communion with Jesus. Forgive us, we pray. And while we ask, we know that we have the forgiveness that we seek by faith in the incarnate, crucified, risen, and ascended Christ. Our full trust is in him, and thus, We are assured of our relationship with you. And as we live our lives, Lord, protect us from the sin that so easily entangles us. Guard our hearts and our minds in this crooked and perverse generation. Preserve your people, your church, and hold us fast. This we pray in Jesus' holy and precious name. Amen.